Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones and this is episode 15. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about the death of the beloved Lion Cecil with the world's reactions to this killing dentist. I'm going to discuss a medical condition that causes chronic coughing in dogs called tracheal collapse and more specifically what you can do for it at home. Lastly, I'm going to share some sad news about the loss of my dog, Jesse. Now Veterinary Secrets is on iTunes. Just go to iTunes.com and search for Veterinary Secrets. We're also on Stitcher. You can download the Stitcher app and search for Veterinary Secrets or go to Stitcher.com/podcast/veterinary-secrets. I would definitely appreciate it if you'd subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Any questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or you can send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Now let's get right into today's podcast. Outrage following the death of Cecil the Lion. Millions of people are outraged following the death of Cecil the Lion, and I'm one of them. Cecil, known for his black mane, was about 13 years old and a famous attraction for wildlife tourists in Zimbabwe until earlier last month he was tempted outside a national park using bait and shot with a bow and arrow. It is believed that he took 40 hours to die. Cecil was killed by Walter Palmer. He's a dentist from Minnesota who reportedly paid $55,000 to participate in the hunt. Cecil was lured out of a protected park with a dead animal used as bait, tied onto the truck of hunting guides, who then shone a spotlight on him. Palmer first shot the lion, who was part of an Oxford University research project, and wore a GPS collar with a bow and arrow, but that shot didn't kill Cecil. 40 hours later, Palmer and a professional hunter named Theo Brunkers allegedly tracked the lion down and shot him with a gun. They tried and failed to destroy the GPS collar. Cecil was then beheaded and skinned. The brutal killing of Cecil the Lion will have long-lasting effects on his pride. That's the group of lion that he's with. And it may even cost his 12 cubs their lives. Since Cecil is no longer the head of the pride, the lion who takes over will most likely kill Cecil is dead. The next lion in the hierarchy, Jericho, will most likely kill all of Cecil's cubs so he can insert his own bloodline into the females, said Johnny Rodriguez, chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. What Palmer said. Palmer said that he hired several professionals and they'd all secured the proper permits. To his knowledge, he said that everything about his trip was legal and properly handled and conducted. He said he had no idea that the lion I took down was a known local favorite, was collared and part of a study until the end of the hunt, he said. I relied on the expertise of my local professional guides to ensure a legal hunt. But Palmer is facing many consequences. His practice, called the Red River Dental, is shut, at least for now. A memorial of stuffed animals is piled up at the door. The website for his dental practice is no longer available online. Online reviews are trashing his business. The hashtag Walter Palmer is being used to pepper him with threats and insults. There's a Facebook page called Shame Lion Killer Dr. Walter Palmer and the River Bluff Dental. It has over 10,000 members as part of it. Palmer said the media, along with a substantial number of comments and calls from people who are angered by the situation and by the practice of hunting in general, has disrupted his ability to see his patients. He's quoted as saying, "I apologize profoundly for this inconvenience and promise that we'll do our best to resume normal operations as soon as possible." But this dentist himself, he had enthusiasm for hunting with bow and arrow. Cecil's killing doesn't appear the first time Palmer has gotten into trouble while hunting. A man by the same name and age and from the same town illegally killed a black bear in Wisconsin several years ago, according to court documents. That individual pleaded guilty to making false statements knowingly to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and was sentenced to 1 year on probation in order to pay a fine of nearly $3,000, records show. A New York Times article in 2009 that profiled Palmer and his hunting methods said he'd served a probation over the false statements case. But those charges are pending. The dentist who killed Cecil the Lion could be extradited to Zimbabwe. U.S. Fish and Wildlife said it will assist in whatever manner is requested. More than 40,000 people have signed a White House petition calling for the Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer to be extradited to Zimbabwe to face justice for killing a beloved lion named Cecil. And you can go online and sign that petition at petitions.com whitehouse.gov/petition/extradite Minnesota and Walter James Palmer to face justice Zimbabwe. And there are legal experts that say it could happen. First, the grisly and disturbing background. Palmer allegedly paid two Zimbabwean men $55,000 for what may have been the illegal killing of the famously black-maned animal. Ongoing investigations to date suggest that the killing of the lion was illegal since the landowner was not allocated a lion of his hunting quota for 2015. Therefore, all persons implicated in this case are due to appear in court facing poaching charges, reads a joint statement released by the Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife Management and the Safari Operators Association of Zimbabwe. So what can you do? You can go ahead and sign that petition. One, there's one on search on change.org, and the name of the petition is Justice for Cecil. You can go ahead and sign that White House petition, same thing, just go to petitions.whitehouse.gov and just search for the White House petition, extraditing Walter James Palmer. Support some legislation. New Jersey Assemblyman Tim Eustos announced Wednesday that he's going to file a bill during the state's next legislative session that would ban transporting animal carcasses of endangered or threatened species through airports overseen by the Port Authority of Newark and New Jersey, which include Kennedy, LaGuardia, and New York Liberty airports. The ban would cut off a link to the United States for game hunters intent on importing the dead carcasses of endangered animals, Eustos said. Hopefully making it more difficult for these types of hunters to transport their prizes will give them pause or perhaps even make them reconsider this type of inhumane activity. In light of Cecil's death, Eustace is calling on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services to add the African lion to its endangered species list, something the service is currently considering. The lion's status is currently listed as threatened. I encourage you to support politicians that want to ban trophy hunting. You know, I still can't believe that it still exists. It's still going strong around the world. Even in my local area where I live in British Columbia, hunters still kill diminishing grizzly bears in the name of trophies. Seriously, it's about time our elected officials stand up to the hunting lobby. Ultimately, you know, this will change. Dr. Palmer's life will never be the same. His practice is closed, and his actions have led to life-changing consequences. It serves him right. I mean, obviously, there's much more to this story, especially an increasing worldwide population, you know, diminishing animal habitat, impoverished locals who will just about do anything for money. Too little protection and support of threatened and endangered species. Yet it starts with just a handful of people who are trophy hunters, who have thousands of disposable dollars, they have no conscience, and they're willing to break laws. Trophy hunting should be banned. If you trophy hunt, you should spend many years in jail. As should Walter Palmer. Now I'm going to discuss the second part of today's podcast, and it's called Tracheal Collapse. To begin with, I want to give you a bit of an understanding of what is a trachea or what is a normal trachea. It's a scientific name for the windpipe, and that's the tube that connects the nose to the mouth and the throat to the lungs. The trachea is meant to be a fairly rigid tube. It consists of muscle connecting to a group of these ringed cartilages. The rings are actually not complete circles, they form a C. So when that muscle, when your dog is attempting to breathe, your cat, there's a big flat muscle, it's called the diaphragm. It separates the belly from the chest cavity. It flattens, and then the chest muscles move. Air is sucked into the lung. When the muscles move in the other direction, air is pushed out of the lung. The trachea, and that's that windpipe, it serves as a pipeline bringing air into the chest. Part of the trachea is in the throat, but it also extends into the chest. So we can look at the trachea as having a portion that's outside of the chest, extrathoracic, and inside of the chest, intrathoracic. So what would cause the trachea to collapse in the first place? What happens is the cartilage rings that make up the trachea weaken. When the C C structure, it loses its curvature, the tracheal muscle across the open end gets loose and floppy. So instead of just being, imagine this tight, rigid muscle canopy, there's this flimsy membrane that moves in and out as air passes through the trachea. The collapse can occur during inhalation or exhalation. Regardless, you know, the big clinical sign that you're going to be seeing is coughing. Panting or rapid breathing for any reason can make the collapse and anxiety worse. That which then generates this vicious cycle. Your dog is breathing even faster, and then there's more distress and then even more coughing. Then on top of this is there's inflammation that's happening within the trachea itself. The collapse of the trachea causes increased secretion inflammation, promoting yet even more coughing, which then causes more inflammation. You can see how this whole cycle can just escalate. Ultimately, the issue of the trachea changes and it loses its normal characteristics, and then the condition can progress, getting worse and worse. So, you know, what animals are affected? The victim is typically it's going to be a toy breed dog, you know, such as poodles, Yorkshire Terriers, and Pomeranians most commonly affect. It usually becomes problematic in middle age, but it can occur at any age. The cartilage defects, where they get sort of weak and flattened, that leads to these flattened C rings, seems to be hereditary. Many dogs with collapsed tracheas don't show symptoms, however, until a secondary problem complicates the matter. You know, some of the factors that can bring out symptoms include obesity, can be where there's kind of an infectious disease such as kennel cough or other respiratory condition. Your dog starts coughing, then you see that your dog also has tracheal collapse. And anesthesia, falling, you know, your dog being intubated, placement of an endotracheal tube. There can be respiratory irritants in the air that trigger it. Your dog can have underlying heart disease. And if a secondary factor such as one of the ones I just talked about should occur, your dog can have a mild collapsed trachea and they're okay. They have no other signs of it. They're not coughing. But then they can be overweight. They can have had anesthesia. They might have had kennel cough. Then you're starting to see them cough with tracheal collapse. So if you can solve those underlying problems, such as having them lose weight, you can resolve the collapsing trachea and that coughing. So what do you do first? So first, if your dog is having breathing difficulties, you have your veterinarian do a thorough exam. You'll check for underlying disease, having them check for tracheal collapse. Clearly, if there's a breathing emergency, they're going to require immediate intervention. But there's many other things you can consider doing in forms of supplements, additional medication, and that's what some of the ones I'm going to list to you here. First, consider a supplement called MSM. It's a supplement found in some plants such as horsetail. It works by reducing inflammation in the joints, and it may reduce tracheal inflammation by acting as an antioxidant. The MSM dose that I'd suggest would be 100 milligrams per 10 pounds of body weight daily. No question, weight loss. I mean, all this additional weight puts incredible strain on the larynx. I mean, if your dog is overweight, you need to get him on a diet. A safe weight loss target is 15% of the body weight in about a 3 to 4 month period. And if you're serious about having your dog lose weight, you're going to see a dramatic improvement. Some of the big things is you're going to avoid carbohydrates. I encourage you to get your dog on a higher protein diet, you know, avoiding minimal kibble, being very strict regimen as far as just, you know, looking at meat in terms of meat protein as a treat as opposed to any of these carbohydrates, such as something like milk bones, and minimal 30 minutes twice a day regular exercise. Anti-inflammatories, a couple things you can consider. Aspirin itself is safe to use in most dogs, never in cats. The big point of using aspirin is, one, if your dog is not on an underlying other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, they have normal liver and kidney function, then in most cases, ASA is fine. The ASA dose is 325 milligrams. That's one regular tablet per 40 pounds of body weight given twice daily. So that dose would be giving a quarter of a tablet to a 10-pound dog. If side effects are seen, such as diarrhea or vomiting, then stop. I recommend the uncoated regular aspirin, as the coated aspirin can pass right through your dog. Bach Rescue Remedy. So this here we're looking at some of the more natural type remedies that can help calm anxiety due to the inability to breathe. It's an easy thing to have, you know, this rescue remedy. I have it on hand. I've use it for my pets for anxiety. 3 to 4 drops per 10 pounds of body weight given 2 to 3 times a day. T-Touch. This is a form of massage. It's called Tellington T-Touch. What you're doing is you're making these sort of circular motions, in particular on your dog's mouth and even focusing on their ear and their ear tips, that pinna. You're tracing circles around them. And many dogs really respond well to T-Touch, very surprisingly calming effect. You know, I've often used this to calm nervous animals in the exam rooms. And especially I just focus on making these circular motions, starting at the tip of the ear, going along to the base of the ear on either side. And I'm using my thumb and my forefinger. Acupressure for anxiety relief. There's one in particular that I'm going to talk to you about. It's called the Yin Tang point, and that's a point right at the base of your pet's nose, right between their eyes. And what you do, you'd be holding that point for 30 to 60 seconds. You can use your index finger and just enough to indent the skin, and go ahead and do that for twice a day. Do that twice a day for 14 days. See if it's beneficial or not. Many dogs respond to it. You'll just see a just general decrease in anxiety. Herbal. There's a number of different herbs that can be used. In particular, we're dealing with this tracheal inflammation. Here's some of the ones that I've used for inflammation. One, devil's claw. It's used in traditional African medicine, and it has some scientific studies to back its effectiveness. We're looking at a dose of 100 milligrams or 10 drops per 10 pounds of body weight. Willow bark is a source of salicylate, the active ingredient aspirin. Therefore, you're never giving it to cats. You're looking at a dose of 100 milligrams or 10 drops per 10 pounds of body weight. And then Boswellia, it's another anti-inflammatory herb popular for arthritis in India. You're looking at a dose of 100 milligrams per 10 pounds of body weight, 3 times daily. There's a couple of homeopathics. One is arsenicum, and it's one I've used for many, it's one of my sort of favorite homeopathics that I'll use for dogs with diarrhea, especially garbage gut. Also one we're using for animals with asthma and breathing difficulties. So the dose of arsenicum would be 130c tablet. That's for about a 10-pound dog. I mean, you can give that every 2 to 3 hours in a severe relapse. Then you want to look at a long-term dose of 30c once a week. Do that again for a month. See if it's beneficial or not. I mean, there's some big, big ones to consider that have helped many, many, many clients. I mean, if your dog is experiencing, you know, a sudden breathing crisis, the first big thing is, you know, stay as calm as possible. Keep your dog as calm as possible. And then if they are hot, you want to cool them down. Secondly, look at running cold water over the back of your pet's head. You know, place cold packs wrapped in towels between their back legs, on the belly and in the armpits. Wet towels can be used instead. If you need to be, just run a garden hose with cool water over the back of your dog's head. Rubbing alcohol will also speed up heat loss. It can be applied to the belly and the groin, cooling as it evaporates. Liberally spread it onto the skin. The most important thing is you're reducing the temperature, but in a controlled way. And if you're sort of dealing with immediate shock, first big thing, you're getting your dog, you know, seen as soon as possible. The second big thing, you want to look at some type of natural shock treatment. If you have something like Arnica, it's a homeopathic on hand, great. Just give 1 or 2 30C tablets and getting your dog to the clinic as soon as possible. One last thing I wanted to mention, and I've had a number of different clients had some good luck with curcumin, and what we're looking at using is they're using the 95% curcuminoids. So this is a very concentrated form of curcumin, and that's the active ingredient, which is, we know it's anti-inflammatory, and we also know it's helping as far as, you know, our dogs that have allergies, that have arthritis. But one in particular, because we know we've got this trachea that's collapsing on itself, so we know what we're trying to do is have you symptomatically help your dog. If you've never tried curcuminoids, I would consider, especially if you've got a dog with tracheal collapse, I'd encourage you to consider it as well. And a dose of curcumin, or the 95% curcuminoids, would be 100 milligrams per 10 pounds of body weight daily, and for most of the dogs who've got tracheal collapse, where are these small breed dogs, about 10 pounds of dog. And you can get, typically you can get somewhere between 200 and 400 milligram capsules. So you can just proportion it down, maybe mix a bit of that in with their canned food. So the last section, a little bit of the podcast I want to discuss, is about my old dog, Jesse. He just died a few days ago. He was a great old dog. He was 18 years old. He was sick with a variety of ailments. You know, he had a condition called degenerative myelopathy. He had underlying heart disease. I had him on dandelion because, as a natural diuretic, because he was sort of gagging a fair amount of fluid at different times. He had a fair amount of spinal fusion, a condition called spondylosis. So he has the recurring sort of episodes of a sore back. He's episodes of a sore neck. His eyesight was really had quite diminished. He had sort of fairly advanced cataracts. His hearing had definitely sort of dropped down to probably 80 or 9% of what it should be. And the last few weeks, you know, his appetite really dropped. And the big change that I noticed for me is, one, his appetite dropped. Secondly, he just was really dramatically dropped in his ability to walk. Up until 2 weeks ago, he was taking me for short little walks around. But his walking got worse and worse and worse, to the point he was almost sort of crossing his rear legs, having such a difficulty walking. And on last Saturday, he just got to the point where he went for a short little walk, he collapsed on the ground and he couldn't get up. So, you know, we knew then it was time. He was euthanized comfortably at home with the rest of his family present. You know, he still wagged his tail that morning, but as I said earlier, just unable to stand. He came to my family after my father died in 2010. At the time, he was thought not to be the best behaved dog, and the sound of my dad yelling, "Jesse," was heard by all the neighbors frequently. But he seemed to choose me. Immediately after my dad died, he jumped into the back of our vehicle, assuming he was to come home with me, and he did. And he turned out to be a great dog. He bonded with all of my family. No question, he tended to follow me around, even waiting to go upstairs to bed until he saw me coming up the stairs. He walked our kids to the bus or to school, barked to warn us of threats from attacking squirrels. He chased away the evil skunks, which led to a big supply of skunk off. He went running and mountain bike with me, and as little as just a year and a half ago, he went on a 50K run. He was filled with personality, always talking when he wanted food, or thought he should be having attention instead of someone else. Whenever I hugged my wife Catherine, he would go off with this talking dog language, as if to say, don't hug her, hug me. You would think it gets much easier as pets get older. Unfortunately not. But he added so much to me and my family, and I'm glad he came to us. Jesse, you are much loved, and we really missed. Dr. Andrew. So thanks for listening to today's podcast. Sort of end on a sad note, but yeah, I miss Jesse, and I think it's important you hear about all aspects of pet care, not just sort of the happy parts as well, and also just to know that I'm human too. But as I said earlier, thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Andrew Jones. If you have yet to subscribe to my podcast, I encourage you to do so. If you have any questions, suggestions for the podcast, I'd love to hear from them. You can do so by either submitting a suggestion on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or you can send me an email. That's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. I look forward to talking to you again next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones.